fighting for America.
Mr. President, if you don't want to give terrorists a recruitment tool, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, frankly, sir, you ought to close your mouth. They called us crusaders, and you've just confirmed it.
Fighting for Idaho.
The situation with the underpass that you're talking about, it's a microcosm of a larger issue, and because it's such a high-profile area, I think people focus on it a little more than the overall situation warrants.
Fighting for you.
Remember those creepy king ads they did?
The king!
The king.
They were so creepy,
they
though.
Were so creepy.
I thought they were good after a while, though. Here comes really, the king. He's going to get you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, why is Rachel Maddow mad? The president apparently lied about the gay marriage and other issues of national importance. And in Idaho, is it time to bring in the slots? Or are the horse racing machines really just horse racing machines? Are they just kind of illegal machines? They're debating that in the, well, at the legislature today. So we'll yap a little bit about that. Do appreciate you joining us. You can always check us out on Twitter at 580KIDO and on Facebook as well. Or you can check me out at 580KIDO on Twitter and at Kevin Miller Show. Joining us now is our friend Simon Owen. He's always on top of these big international stories, and he is provided for us by our friends at Fox News Radio exclusively. We go live to London to get the very latest on these international conflicts that impact us here. Simon, good morning.
Hi, Kevin.
So for those of us just hanging out in potato land and, I don't know, living the good life debating about Brian Williams, why is this Ukrainian situation important to us here?
Well, because America is taking steps towards becoming more and more involved in this conflict due to a desire to see, you know, that Russia, in President Obama's terms, is not allowed to redraw the map of Europe at the barrel of a gun. And so we get to the point where the U.S. has talked about sending weapons, deadly, lethal aid to Ukraine's military. And then Europe has responded by firstly opposing that move and secondly setting up a pretty scrambled set of peace talks that are taking place in a couple of hours in Minsk in Belarus, where we're going to, all being well, see the presidents of Ukraine and Russia face to face, along with the French president and the German chancellor, who are representing Europe in the hope of scratching out some kind of ceasefire and who knows, maybe even a longer term peace deal.
Well, you take a look at the Germans have really made a move here, as you reported previously on Fox News Radio, to try and, you know, come to some resolution here, which may or may not be in agreement with the administration.
Well, I mean, I think if they could come up with a lasting peace deal, then the White House would welcome that. You know, that America, I don't think, wants to send weapons, but it feels perhaps that is the next avenue you have to take because they've tried sanctions. Vladimir Putin hasn't blinked despite the damage they've done to the Russian economy. You have the Germans taking the lead because Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, is pretty much the only Western leader who has any kind of reasonable working relationship with Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. So it kind of makes sense for her to certainly represent Europe, but maybe almost the West as well, because, you know, it's clear that President Obama and President Putin are struggling to see eye to eye. Merkel has made it clear she's been frustrated with Putin in recent months, but at the same time, they do still have a connection there. And that's something she's looking to exploit when they meet later on. But, I mean, her spokesman has just said that, you know, these talks offer a glimmer of hope and nothing more. So, I mean, even one of the key participants in this is playing down the prospect of this negotiations later coming with any kind of serious deal. In the meantime, the fighting has really been raging since the new year. And there's, you know, some reports say 46 people were killed in the last 24 hours, which is a big jump in what we've seen recently.
Well, and the fear is that if the Americans arm the rebels with even more lethal force, as you've reported, the violence can escalate and spill over into other former Warsaw Pact states, right?
Well, there is that concern, but I think mainly their concern is just simply the fighting intensifying in Ukraine. You know, the U.S. has talked about sending, yes, it'd be lethal aid, but it would be defensive to try and to give the Ukrainian army a chance to defend itself against some of the Russian kit that we understand the rebels are using. At the same time, though, if you send advanced defensive equipment, then Russia can still send even more advanced offensive equipment, and things can spiral even further. That's the concern from the Europeans. But, you know, there's an argument that one of the big things Vladimir Putin would like to see is a split between the US and Europe on how it is confronting Russia about this crisis. And this potentially is where the two, you know, Europe and the US are heading, to some kind of split. Now, they insist that is not the case. John Kerry was saying the other day that this is just people looking for a split, but there is no split. I think America will certainly give it today to see how these talks go. They'll probably run late into the evening. But after that, we could get to the point where Europe is not keen on weapons and America is.
Simon Owen joining us from London, talking about the Ukraine, Russian, German, American situation. I was moved by your reporting about Angela Merkel personally going to Vladimir Putin to hand deliver him the latest. That never happens in the age of the internet and everything else. And you've said that she gets along with Putin more than we do. Can you define their relationship a little bit more? Why Putin respects her as opposed to not having the best relationship with President Obama?
Well, I mean, there's presumably various personality aspects that click, but a big part of it is thought to be how Angela Merkel grew up in East Germany. And so it has that link to, you know, the Soviet way of doing things. And therefore, I suspect Vladimir Putin perhaps has a bit more respect for her, because this is somebody who is still very keen and almost longs for the days of the Soviet Union, as far as we can understand for him. So they have built that relationship, and in a year that has just passed, in which his relationship with pretty much every other Western leader has crumbled almost beyond repair, you would have thought, they have just about held it together. As I say, Merkel has made it clear she's been frustrated, and she has laid out some pretty blunt points in phone conversations between the two of them, as far as we understand. But there is still a connection there. And that trip to Moscow last week, when Merkel delivered that peace plan, which is also kind of linked to today's talks as well, that was her first visit to Moscow, I think, since long before this crisis began. So that just showed that it was a bit of a milestone, a bit of a big moment. And as I say, it's possibly in the face of the prospect of American weapons getting involved in this that they are trying to step up the diplomacy, at least to give it one final flurry.
Now, any word on if Putin has shut off the natural gas like he threatened to, and we had talked about, I think, at this time last year?
Nothing's happened
right,
sort of long term. I mean, there's maybe been hiccups to supplies. I mean, Ukraine wants to build up energy ties with Western Europe, and Western Europe in turn wants to build up energy ties with the US to ease reliance on Russia. But that is not something that you put together overnight. It's going to take a few years. But right now, I mean, it's the middle of winter in Ukraine. It's absolutely freezing, and things seem to be just about ticking along. But it's certainly, if you are one of those people who are stuck in Eastern Ukraine, it's certainly not a pleasant time at the moment. And, you know, we see that there are pretty set front lines in this conflict, and yesterday there was a deadly rocket attack on a city called Kramatorsk, which is a big jump, some 30 miles beyond the front line. So even if you think you're in somewhere that's relatively safe at the moment, you may well not be.
Simon, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend Simon Owen joining us, Fox News Radio, live from London, only here at 580KIDO. This just in to the Kevin Miller newsroom. We have a newsroom? Well, the control center, the broadcast center. Newsroom sounds more official, does it not? The president now has asked Congress to formally authorize war against the Islamic State militants. That's right. The Islamic State militants. So here's an easy one for you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. This issue involving the president who a federal judge has said broken the law when he's legalized the illegals, a president who, if the Supreme Court had an honest bone in its body, would have held him accountable for creating the Affordable Care Act and then changing the requirements, changing the law without actually going through the legislative process. Of course, if Congress had a brain, they'd be dangerous. and they'd hold him accountable. I mean, where are the statesmen in Congress? I can't find them. But here we have now the president to woo-hoo-hoo has asked Congress for a declaration of war, is it? Do we have that again? Do we have that copy again, Sweet William? He's asked Congress to formally authorize war against the Islamic State. So God rest her soul, Kayla Mueller, who died writing letters that she was still strong, still fighting. This young lady from, what, Wisconsin? Now the president, he's mad. Wasn't it the president's attorney general, Eric Holder, saying, well, we're not going to declare war on radical Islam. We're not going to say that. I mean, he was asked like seven times on the Sunday shows. Well, they think it's a joke. Now, it isn't a joke when you're staring down the barrel of an Abrams tank. It isn't a joke when you've got the gunships or the Apaches going at you, right? Not a joke there. But now we're going to declare war. Here's the issue. How many of you are ready for this? Is there enough outrage? Yes, the economy isn't where we should be. Schools aren't where they should be. Look, we've got a lot of issues. This show's mission statement is Kevin Miller has issues, right? But how many of us are ready to go in there and lay the smack down? Really? I mean, how many of us are willing to commit blood and treasure? Think about this. Think about our beautiful men and women in the military. You know the ones with kids, with grandkids that leave for a long time. By the way, if you check out the Kevin Miller Show, not the Kevin Miller Show, my personal page, I have a wonderful video of a soldier coming home and a little dachshund. Yeah, I'm proud of owning wiener dogs, or they own me for that matter. Just so happy that his dad's home. I mean, that sums it up right there, that these people sacrifice so much. You take a look at Iraq. You take a look at Afghanistan. We pulled out. Boom. It's all going to heck. Right? All going to heck. And yet we sit back and think to ourselves, is it time to do it again? Do we trust this military leadership? The president has asked Congress to lay the smack down on ISIS. Is this a good thing? 580-5436, 580-KIDO, plus coming up next hour, how you can help the College of Idaho win very big. We're working on that local story. Still have to talk about the slot machines and everything else at the racetracks. Quickly, to the Megyn Kelly of the Miller in the Morning Show, Linda from Emmett, who always warms our heart on these cold winter mornings. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, it is cold. Where is the president? Well, you know, I realize he is who he is, but how cavalier he is about rewriting the laws of our country and going against what every other president who wants to declare war on any country, be it a terrorist country or whatever. You know, there's protocol ahead. It's supposed to be followed. The key word, supposed to be, I guess. And my other comment is, we don't have the manpower to go to war with anybody.
He's cut the benefits. He's cut the troops. He's cut.
I know. That's what worries me. We're going to end up having to call up every National Guard and every reserve member to for us to have any kind of a chance of getting any number of troops together, and that's going to take time too. So what in the sandhill is he thinking?
Well, if you're in Congress, do you vote to let him go with the troops?
I wouldn't.
All right, we heard it here first from our friend, the lovely Linda from Emmett. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic.
Are we the United States of America, or are we America run by Washington, D.C.?
We are not just a ragtag bunch of people out here that are on the fringes.
We need people in Idaho, in our local Congress, to say, look, enough's enough. Let's get it
started. Kevin Miller gets you talking every morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we're joined now from our friend in FLA, Rob Williams, news reporter, talk show host, man of the world, one of the most interesting men in America.
No
here.
Relation. I'm not. I've got to say now, Kevin, it's Rob. No relation to Brian Williams.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you been an award-winning reporter, brother?
Longer than I would care to admit. Marconi was not our first station engineer, but I think our station engineers were trained by him.
I see.
So yeah, it's started out at a high school station outside of Detroit, then it got at 1/6 the power of a normal light bulb. Think about that.
I'm with
you. Little radio station.
So we've only got a few minutes here. Based on you being embedded with the military, you being there reporting on the stuff and your years in journalism, what do you make of Brian Williams?
I really did get shot at. Wasn't personal or anything. I'm gonna come to his defense a little bit being this way. In our job, we cover so many stories and do so many interviews, even in a day. And from the looks of things, he was in jeans and a Brooks Brothers button-down long-sleeve Oxford shirt, not exactly what you call combat apparel. But later, after the first 72 hours or so of the war, reporters unembedded in Kuwait could catch flights out to go to the front lines for the day. If that makes any sense, the Army and Marine Corps were supplying reporters a pool of journalists, if you will, that would be able to fly out, visit with the troops, get a story, fly back to Kuwait same day. That's apparently what he was doing. Nobody was set up for combat. Nobody was in camo. He had a little body armor, that little thing that says press, but that just gives him a good place to aim on. And that's a long time ago. And he probably has done several other trips to Afghanistan and Iraq since then, and Israel, and a lot of helicopter flights and a lot of shooting. And it's like, okay, I remember RPG helicopter we had to put down. There was a dust storm. And, you know, I can see how some of that might have sort of gotten a little jumbled over the years. I can't defend him in New Orleans saying he was stuck in the Superdome when he was at the Ritz-Carlton, which is about a mile away. You know, the Ritz-Carlton is down in the Central Business District, and the Dome is a little, you know, that's about a mile away. There were no bodies floating in the French Quarter. The French Quarter, for the most part, the water only got curb deep, curb deep. That was it. That's the highest piece of land in New Orleans. So for him to say that, and again, I got a whack on Chris Kyle as well for him saying, yeah, we set up on the Superdome and shot 30 bad guys. Really? Really? Nah. But, you know, that was Ray Nagin for all his days. We lost 10,000 people. That's because, Ray Nagin, you're criminally stupid. And it bothers me he's going to jail for not being criminally stupid. And basically, 10,000 cases of manslaughter. He was responsible for a lot of that.
But I think it was 1,800 in the end.
That was, 18 and change. The number is floated between 1,800 and 1,900. And yet, a lot of those people, there's still some unidentified that they're just missing, and no one knows what happened to them. Almost. Get this now. August will be 10 years. 10 years since Katrina. And I was in the thick of that for about 6 weeks, covering it for Fox. I was the last person they had to send in New Orleans because the other four reporters ahead of me bailed out. They couldn't deal with it. And so they sent me in, and I stayed. Then they sent me to Iraq for a vacation afterwards. So that's the take on Brian. I really feel bad. I thought he was an excellent news communicator. And, you know, if NBC really wants to shake things up, they just ought to go hire Sean Hannity from Fox, let him read the news. That kills all any indication of liberal bias on the part of NBC, but the higher ups aren't going to let that happen. God forbid we don't go along with everybody else being liberal. But it would also cut the legs off from under Fox News to boot. They don't have anybody in the backups. They don't have anybody in the wings. And I don't think Lester Holt's going to be the be-all, end-all anchor guy on NBC Network. And I don't think Savannah Guthrie, having her PR machine push her on the front page of Drudge. Are you kidding me? What?
Hey, let me hit you with something real quick here. You love the troops. You've been under fire with the troops. You don't talk about it much. What do you make of Brian Williams, forgetting or embellishing. Why would anybody do that? You have just as much, if not more, respect for the troops than I do. I couldn't imagine anybody embellishing a story about them to benefit themselves personally. Could you?
As I said, a couple of things, and I'm not sure where I read this. Brian, apparently a college dropout, not Harvard, Yale, Ivy League educated kind of guy, but still an excellent communicator. And maybe he felt a little inferior, but he did stuff that those people will never do from the safety of their desk in Rockefeller Plaza. They will never, ever put their butt on the line to cover the news. And Brian and the photogs and the producers did all of that. At least those people, the photog, NBC network photographers and sound guys and producers and otherwise, they didn't give Brian up on this. It was the troops that said, whoa, wait a minute here, Slick. All he did was fly out there. Then we got in a sandstorm. Obviously not as glamorous as getting shot down or shot at. Again, it's disappointing. It's absolutely disappointing. And you just scratch your head. And one person that didn't need to do it. But let's not forget this. Dan Rather. Remember the business of somebody stalked him in New York and grabbed him and said, what's the frequency, Kenneth? Remember that? Dan Rather, you know, sort of smacked himself in the face. Then the fraudulent letters about George W. Bush.
Dan Rather gave himself the business, yeah.
That's straight out forgery. And everybody involved who touched that should have been fired immediately by CBS and never spoken of again. But I don't see NBC making the Katie Couric mistake, although apparently she has put out feelers to come back to the fold and to anchor nightly because she can go. I anchored at CBS for 5 or 6 years, which, by the way, explains why they are still in last place. Scott Pelley's a crackerjack guy. A lot of respect for Scott. And
he's no Bob Schieffer.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, somebody said Bob really needs to retire. He really does need to retire. I respect him as well. Interviewed him several times. But it's time, Bob. It really is.
Speaking of which, Rob Williams, we'd love to have you back.
Kevin, the phone number is, you got it on speed dial. It's okay. You keep playing the hits up there, and something about you and a Speedo, and they want to make it against the law for you in a Speedo in Montana. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave that visual to people's imaginations, and may the good news be yours. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Rob. Our great friend Rob Williams with us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You heard him at the top of the hour on Fox News Radio. He joins us now at 580 KIDO. Evan Brown covering the Chris Kyle murder trial, if you will. And, you have the lead story, and you would think that Chris Kyle would be on trial, but there is a defendant in the murder of Kyle. Good morning, Evan.
Hi, good morning.
So you take a look at this. If you could bring us the latest. We were talking about jury selection the other day. The other day we were talking about the judge says, look, if you read the book, saw the movie, you might not be disqualified to participate in this trial.
Well, that didn't disqualify anyone from serving on the jury. That jury's been picked. There are 10 women, 2 men on the jury, and opening statements are set for today.
The mood on the ground there.
Well, this is a trial that obviously not only has the nation's attention because of the American Sniper film and book, but also it certainly is big doings locally. This is not a very big town. Chances are someone who lives here knows somebody sitting on that jury or was at least called in for jury service. So, people are definitely aware that it's going on.
Well, and, for those of us that, are following this, Eddie Ruth is the defendant, and apparently it will all revolve around the defense's claim that PTSD is the defense here in this case.
Well, Ralph is a former Marine, and the reason why he came into contact with Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield was that the family of Ralph reached out to Kyle saying, "Look, our guy is suffering badly with PTSD. He's a former Marine. Is there anything you can help us out with? And that's why Chris Kyle and Chad Littlefield came out to visit him and to take him out shooting at a range in hopes of helping him. And the defense will argue that the PTSD was so bad that he just had no sense of reality when he did what he did.
Well, and we go to the opening statements by Warren St. John for the defense. What, no matter what you've read or seen, no matter how much it might hurt your heart that he lost his life, if you had to vote right now, Ruth would be innocent. Boy, that's a provocative claim.
Well, it is, but that's what defense attorneys do, and their hope is that they can convince a jury that Ralph is mentally ill and should not be convicted as a murderer.
And we'll see how that plays out. Anything that we should be looking for, anything that you'll be watching as you're reporting on this, Eben?
Well, today is the first day of testimony as well, and we're expecting Chris Kyle's widow to take the stand.
How do you sum that up in it's probably hard to even give a preview of that. Highly emotional, and we're being diplomatic.
We don't know what she'll say or what she'll be asked, and so that's something that people will be paying attention to.
Well, Eben, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right. You're welcome, Kevin. Eben there, Eben Brown there with a report there. You know, and to his credit, you know, where can you go? The jury selection has happened. You've got the opening statements, and we might as well just do this with you and me here. You have post-traumatic stress disorder, and we know that it has been a big issue in the city of Boise, where we've had issues with veterans and our own care for veterans. Nationally, where you have the Veterans Administration scandal, which has been kicked off the front pages. Our own VA, from what I hear, they do a great job. We've had those folks on, and quite frankly, those people that dedicate their life to serving those veterans, that's a form of nobility, if you ask me. But does PTSD absolve this person for the murder of the American sniper? I mean, really, does it absolve this person, Eddie Ruth, from the murder of Chris Kyle? Maybe you have PTSD. Maybe you have traumatic brain injury. Maybe you know somebody, whether it was from Vietnam or the Gulf or Iraq. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And those people that have seen the movie The American Sniper, they've told us, look, very emotional. We were crying. It was something that will live with us forever. That's one issue that we're looking at. Other issues, you like to gamble? Do you like to go to the racetrack? From the Statesman today, Idaho lawmakers are considering whether to repeal instant betting machines just 2 years after the lucrative terminals sailed through the legislature with little opposition. Well, of course they did, because you have big money, you have lobbyists that control things. Just why did Greg Pruitt's concealed carry bill get derailed? Well, he didn't have the NRA behind it because the NRA calls the shots. Now you're going to say, well, Kevin, you're a conservative. Why are you beating up on the NRA? I'm not. I've been in meetings with lawmakers, and they say, look, here's the skinny. Don't tell anybody, but this was a few years ago. The NRA doesn't want this. Maybe they do. Maybe Greg Pruitt needs to call the NRA and say, hey, will you send some money to our lawmakers to make sure that it gets a hearing? Add the words, get the hearing. Constitutional carry doesn't. Now we've got the racetrack. And look, we all want people to have jobs. I hope they treat the animals good. That's my big concern. And it provides a lot of entertainment. And let's face it, it gives the sports guys on TV something to do when spring football is done. And nobody's covering, NASCAR or something like that. But anyway, the push to ban instant racing has come from the Coeur d'Alene tribe. And lawmakers who say they were duped in supporting the cleverly disguised slot machines. The people that want instant racing say betting on parlor horse race with no identifiable information is vital to saving the horse racing industry here in the state. They point out that some of the money generated goes to the state racing associations and breeder groups. Yeah, that's like the lottery. The money goes to the schools, but the schools still need the money. So coming up next, are you down with legalized gambling in the state of Idaho? That's really what this is, isn't it? If not, in my opinion, That's what it is. It starts this way in every state. Okay, let's start with horse racing. Okay, the sport of kings. Let's start with horse racing. And then let's have the terminals from other tracks across the country. No harm there. It's horse racing. It's not gambling. And then let's have the machines. Hey, and if you're going to have the machines, let's have the slot machines. And if you're going to have the slot machines, why not have the virtual poker machines? And if you're going to have those virtual poker machines, why not have table games? And the gaming industry is very proficient at getting what they want. And I would expect in the next 5 years, you're going to have people, whether it's in the state constitution or not, saying, why are we losing money to Jackpot? Why are we losing money to Silver Star? Why are we losing money to Reno? Let's keep that money in the state, right? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's my opinion on it. You know, why don't they just come out of the closet and say, let's just have slot machines because we need the money. Pat, a female from Middleton with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Kevin. I just wanted to weigh in on the gaming issue. You know, today's climate of betting is nothing like it was before the internet. People can gamble on their phones, for goodness sakes.
Really?
And people are going to gamble no matter what, because there are people that enjoy that. I'm not one of them, but it's fine with me if that's what they want to do.
I don't know. I could see you on a riverboat.
Yeah. And the horse racing industry in Idaho is vital. It really is for the horsemen and the public. And you made a comment, I hope they treat the animals well. Those animals are treated so very well. They are fit athletes. They're fed the finest. They're cared for. A vet looks at them before every race. And are there bad apples? Of course. There's bad apples in every industry that will not do the right thing. But overwhelmingly, these animals are loved and cared for. And you know what? This is an opportunity for us to just keep the horse racing industry going here, and also for us to put some of the money that people are going to spend anyway. I don't think we're going to make gamblers out of anybody that doesn't gamble. And keep some of that money here. And then finally, the biggest opposition to this, I believe you said this, and it's accurate, are the tribes, because they don't want any competition. But I don't know that, I don't know what they're putting back in from the money. We've already seen it's a huge thing. It's going to make a lot of money. And why not spread it around a little bit? So those are my comments.
Hey, Pat, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
All right, here you have Pat saying, let's bring in the machines. You're going to spend the money anyway. Why have the faux righteousness, if you will? People are going to go and gamble. That's the case. Let's just build a casino. I'm not being flippant on that. Let's just, you know, in honor of add the words, let's come out of the closet. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, or stop the whole thing before it starts. Time for traffic now. It is
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:57, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up next hour, how you can help the College of Idaho. Quickly to our friend Julie Lindy. Julie, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. We've got about a minute here. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to chat with you a little bit about that gambling issue, Senate Bill 1011. You mentioned that the legislature said they were duped a couple of years ago when those machines were passed, and I think that's probably a good description. When that hearing was held, they were shown pictures, and something different than what showed up was described. And the other issue is that I think in the late 90s, it may have been the late 80s, but there was a constitutional amendment that said that no gaming machines would be in Idaho. So there is an issue of whether or not these machines are even constitutional. So regardless of the tribe's situation, what the tribes are trying to do is eliminate competition. But regardless of that, there is a question of whether or not these are constitutional, and then the broader question of whether or not gambling is good for society, which I would say it is not. They've said that the horsemen will lose money, and I think that's a very unfortunate and sad thing. But the issue is whether or not it's good for society.
That's a great point, and we appreciate it, Julie. Thank you.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Quickly to traffic now at 7:59, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up next, the College of Idaho needs your help. Find out how you can help them next. KIDO.